Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us, not only for today, but also for Saturday and Sunday. It's the weekend, or it's Friday, whichever way I tend to look at it, as that it's the weekend. I usually look forward to this on Fridays, and I wake up on Friday mornings and I'm like, wow, how did we get here so fast? So the weekend came quickly, and we have a bit to talk about this morning. So let's dive in and see what we have going on. I'm just making sure that the live is actually working, because this morning it didn't want to go on. Of course, it just wants to play games. So I had to clear out all of my history and all of that before I could get on. But it looks like it is broadcasting live. So that's cool. I'm excited for that. So today we are waking up with the moon now in Leo, having moved out of Cancer early in the morning, at least for us here in the US. For those of you in Europe, it was during your work day that the moon made this transition. The moon in Leo is generous, confident, and proud, and self-expressive. There's a lot of really good energies that come up through Leo, kind of more fun-loving energies, more playful and wanting to play and take some time for the good things in life. And today the moon in Leo will square Venus and Uranus. Yay, squares, challenges, obstacles to overcome in the shadow of Monday's full moon, super moon in Virgo. Just what we need, right? Some clearing to take place before we actually get to the completion later on in the weekend, or actually it's in the beginning of the work week. So when we talk about Leo, we're talking about self-expression. So how it is that we express ourselves, our wish to be heard, seen, recognized, and valued for our heart-centered or soul-centered sharing. We have a passion for our ideas and how we want to get them out into the world. We're eager to give that information to an audience, to whatever kind of audience that might mean. It might be an audience of one. It might be an audience of thousands. Whatever your audience is, we want to be able to share our ideas. And we're also struck with creative ambition, the wanting to get somewhere, to do something, and to create something that is unique to us as individuals, something that is something from our soul or our heart. Leo's a very heart-centered sign. In fact, in the body, Leo rules the heart and the literal workings of the heart. So when we have heart issues or low back issues, because Leo also rules the spine, then that's what is showing up. In your chart, we want to look and say, what's going on over there in Leo? Now, fun and games are also a part of the Leo expression. The moon in Leo is feeling more like playing and celebrating, being in that childlike enthusiasm for life, and joining up with that more youthful dynamic. It is also the drama queens, drama kings. We may be surprising people one minute with gifts, and on the other, in the next minute, we may be feeling like we weren't valued for that, and then we're irritated or upset. We want to be treated like the queen or like the king, but we also want to be generous with our own time and our own gifts in giving to others. Loyalty, we've talked about that already this week, is another theme that comes up with the moon in Leo. Loyalty to whom or what? Is it loyalty to the self? Is it loyalty to one's own heart? And then loyalty to the outer world? Or is it loyalty to truth? Right? There's a sense here that there's something bigger for us to be loyal to. We have to watch out for a couple of things. Of course, we always do when the moon is in a sign, when any planet is in a sign. There's the high frequency energies, and then there are the lower frequency energies. Most often we land planting ourselves right there in the middle. But sometimes, you know, we get into that lower extreme, and that is about ego taking over when we're talking about Leo, where we are overly self-centered, or we become overly selfish. It's not bad to be self-centered. I really have a problem when people say that that's a problem, you know, to be self-centered. But if you do not have yourself centered and know what you are doing and who you are and what your desires are, then you're often in a projection field doing things for other people, getting irritated about what you see in other people. So you have to have a certain amount of self-centeredness in order to move through this life in a healthy way. However, sometimes Leo energy gets a little more into that ego side and becomes a little more me, me, me. And even, you know, going to the extreme of narcissism. So you want to just watch what's going on. And again, you know, part of the reason we do this in the morning is not so much about what's going on with you, although that's a part of it. But if you know that other people may be coming at you with that kind of energy, it really helps you decide how you're going to respond to that person. You may realize, oh, it's just that Leo moon and, you know, they're overly self-absorbed and I'll just let that go rather than, you know, creating a big fight or something over what people are doing. So two prongs here, right? One for your own self knowledge and the other for what's going on around you. How are the people around you going to behave that are not necessarily conscious of what the energies bring for the day? So I'm going to go quick over to Facebook here and say good morning to people who are checking in. Good morning, Allison. Thank you for the advice on solar fire. And Chiron, you are most welcome. I don't personally use solar fire. I have another program I use, but I know it's a good one and it's just a little up here. So you take your time. If you do get it, take your time learning it. Tom Wright, good day, eh? All present and accounted for. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Happy birthday, Lisa Kennedy. Have a wonderful year. I didn't know it was Lisa's birthday, but happy birthday to you, Lisa. And Debbie Hedden, good morning to you as well. And anybody have any questions or anything, go ahead and put it in here. And I will come back to the Facebook listing. So today, what else do we have going on? We have Mercury in a semi-square to Mars. Now, a semi-square is a half of a square. Semi-half square. So half of a 90-degree square would be a 45-degree relationship. And this is an angle that creates tension. And I can feel it. I just can feel it. It's my ruling planet. And I know when something's out of sync with Mercury or when, you know, there's something going on because I end up feeling irritated and irritable. So what is the key words for this particular Mercury semi-square Mars? Tense, nervousness, anxiety, being snappy or irritable. Funny that I could have told you that just based on how I was feeling. So today's a great day to release yourself from the pressure of being something or doing something other than what it is that you feel like doing in the moment. This is sometimes a place where we want to push ourselves to keep going, and that just creates more tension or more anxiety. And if that's the irritation that you're feeling, then just stop that and do something different. Break up the energy. This is also a day where it is going to be tough for people to really listen, because there's a lot of chatter going on. We all, with that moon in Leo, want to be heard. We all want to be seen, valued, and recognized. So people may be talking over one another. So watch that in your own self too, right? If someone begins a conversation with you, really listen. What are they saying? And don't talk over other people as they begin a conversation with you, because that just is irritating to no end on a day like today with Mercury in a semi-square to Mars. That could lead to some real stress in a relationship. This is also really good energy though. The gumption, the impetus, the push to make changes in your life. So if you've been feeling like something's just brewing under the surface that you want to make changes with, even though Mercury is still retrograde and maybe it's not the best time to make a big change, there may be some smaller things that are going on behind the scenes that you could make changes with. And that may make you feel better about, you know, moving your life forward in some way. Also today is 10 choosing in the Pleiadian Earth energy, 10 choosing in the Mayan calendar. Choosing is ebb, which was represented by a road. It was also represented by the human body. And the 10 energy is about manifesting. So we are moving closer to the end of the week, right? The end of the Pleiadian Earth energy week or the Mayan calendar week. And manifesting, the 10 energy tells us how well we are progressing along our spiral of consciousness by what is being manifested in our outer world. What are you seeing out there? If what you're seeing out there is you know, positive and moving in the right direction, then likely you have incorporated the pulse of this particular week in a really powerful way. And if it's not working out the way that you had hoped, perhaps there's something that you can look back toward the beginning of the week that you, where you skipped a step or where something was out of sync or where you weren't listening. Because remember, this is the week that began back on February 26th with one listening. And listening in the Pleiadian Earth energy was all about going into the void, going into the silence. And listening, right? What is the deepest recesses of your soul telling you? What is your connection to the cosmos telling you? What, you know, it could be whispering something that you must do. It could be whispering to you something that you must let go of. It could be whispering to you about where you need to make changes. But if you're not listening, you're not getting the message. So we take everything now from these previous 10 days since the one listening, and you know, we've been building this up, right? The spiral of consciousness. We're almost up to that top, you know, energy. So this is a great time. Reevaluate, right? If the world isn't looking the way, if your life isn't looking the way you'd hoped it would be, then go back to listening. Get that, you know, it's not too late. It's not like, oh, you're a failure and you are not going to evolve through this spiral of consciousness, because you are. It, you know, part of the evolution may just be the recognition that, oh, I didn't listen, right? I heard, but I wasn't really listening. So that's part of what we're doing today. Choosing energy is about how to choose wisely. Seeking peaceful ways to settle differences between people. How do we choose to solve our problems? How do we choose to move forward? And being conscious about how your decisions impact the world, impact your community, your family, your relationships, your close, your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend. How do your relationships affect you? And I mean, how do your decisions affect you? So it's important that we learn during this time to choose from the heart, choose from the heart. And I, you know, when I say that, it sounds so easy. Having a North Node in Leo, where my whole life is about choosing from the heart, it is not that easy to do, right? We often choose from what the head is telling us, our minds. We often choose from a position of fear. We choose from what we think other people want from us. So here's a day for us to really, again, tap into that listening and then choose from our heart. And when we're choosing from our heart, it makes a world of difference in how it impacts the outer world. Cool, right? Let's see people in Elisa. Good morning. Finally get to say good morning to you. Sue, OMG, that is what I have been feeling with the semi-square Mars and Mercury. Lovely. I can feel like I am normal again. Sue, I'm so glad you said that, because I usually wake up, you know, I was probably a happy baby. I mean, really, I am usually very happy when I wake up in the morning. And I was happy when I woke up this morning, but one thing after another has happened this morning, just irritating little scritchy things beneath the surface that just set my teeth on edge and make me go, I mean, stupid things, just stupid things. And that's, you know, nothing like big earth shattering, but it's, you know, they tend to pile up on one another. And before you know it, you're in an irritable mood. And to the point where I almost said to myself, well, you can't go on air because you're so irritable, right? You just can't do it. But I pushed myself into doing it. My heart said to do it. That's okay, right? I don't have to choose to be tapped into that irritability. I can choose to let that just sort of roll like, you know, water off a duck's back. We'll see what happens later when I get into my day, how irritating I am or irritable I am. Oh, goodness gracious. Isn't life grand? Let's see. Anybody else got comments? No, No, not yet anyway. Okay, good. So I just have to laugh at myself some days. Let's go into, I didn't get to finish yesterday with our Rosie Aronson stories because I wanted to play with my dragon cards. And so I let that go. But today, today's the last day of the Human Design Week. So I want to make sure we have our lesson on the gate 63, where the Earth is sitting through today, before it moves into a different gate tomorrow. So yesterday we talked about the card 64, which was imagination. I got to go back to Zoom because I cannot see where I am. There we go. So we talked about imagination yesterday, and I did put up the questions for contemplation for everybody on that one today. And that was where the sun was, the gate 64, which is the very final gate of the gene keys or in your human design. It's the last gate. And imagination, I thought that was interesting considering when we started the Human Design New Year, we began that at gate 41, which also has an imagination connection. It's about fantasy and anticipation of what could we create, right? And the final gene key being the one of imagination, and that would be the gift of imagination. And in the Siddhi, that was the Siddhi of illumination, and the shadow was confusion. And in that gate, in our human design, often what happens when that is defined is we get downloads, almost complete story and all downloads. And then we want to take action on those downloads, but it comes in without the manual, right? It comes in without, you know, like it's like buying a piece of furniture at IKEA and not having the instructions, right? How do I put this table together? Because now I don't have those instructions and I don't know what to do with it. So confusion comes in because often we are trying to, you know, put it into an order. We're trying to make it something when we don't yet have all of the information. So the gate 64 says, apply imagination to it, right? Apply imagination. The Earth, as we move in tomorrow, moves into the gate 47, the exact opposite gate of where the sun was this last week. And that is the gate of epiphany, the gate of aha, the gate of revelation, where if you are able to stay out of the confusion of the gate 64, something comes along and puts it into perspective for you. So we have hope on the horizon. Now, the gate 63, where the Earth is about doubt and suspicion. And often that is turned inward at our own selves, where we're doubting ourselves, we're doubting our abilities, we're doubting our motives, we're doubting we can do anything. We might be finding that we are more doubting others or doubting or in more suspicion of others than their motivation, or maybe just suspicious about what, you know, they're telling us. So it begs for us to, you know, do our due diligence to make sure that we're listening, comes up here too. And we, you know, ask questions, but the right questions in the right way. So the shadow energy is doubt. The gift energy is inquiry, and the Siddhi is truth. And here's our guy, right? Here's our guy. He looks like a total cool guy to hang out with. I would hang out with him on a Saturday. And it is the gate of inquiry. And look at, he's got an elephant on his third eye, which represents abundance and probably wisdom. And I can't tell what's on his throat. It looks like maybe a lotus flower. You guys tell me what you think. It's hard, I know, with this light, these shiny glossy cards. But anyway, that is our card for today. And here is the wisdom story of it. As a kid, I'd ask my parents a question and they'd answer me with logic and certainty. Rainbows were meteorological phenomena and unicorns were a physical impossibility. But there were still so many things I wondered about. The more my family laughed at my ridiculous questions, the more I thought I was stupid. As a young man, every thought, fantasy, and opinion that occurred to me was poured through an internalized critical filter. I constantly doubted who I was, what I thought, what I did, how I felt. And I second-guessed every decision I made, either to a point of paralysis or a regrettable impulsivity. I couldn't relax until I got to the bottom of things, saw an entire pattern, or landed on an objective truth, which of course I could never find, which made me even more anxious. So I learned more and more and kept my self-doubts to myself. Though agreeable and reasonable in public, I was angry and antagonistic in my intimate relationships. My lover would express a feeling, and I'd be so obsessed with locating the objective truth of the matter that I'd miss the point entirely. I became increasingly suspicious, always expecting others to disagree, doubt, or misunderstand me. I picked fights, got defensive, and gathered evidence, especially when they failed to get the complexity of a situation. Though I clung to the thought that someone had to be right and someone else had to be wrong, it was never that simple. When my self-doubt got so big that I could no longer sleep or function, I sought out professional help. For the first time in my life, I could openly share about the doubts that plagued me. At first, I doubted the counselor could help me, but she hung in there, encouraging me not to act on my doubts, especially when they were at their most intense. Over time, she helped me appreciate my mind's unique gift for inquiry and to embrace the paradoxical nature of life. With support, I developed a mindfulness practice. As my mind became a more loving witness, I saw just how many people suffered from self-doubt and how my struggles to understand were a part of what made me human. Now, I help others experience various states of awareness and explore the mystery of their true nature. My gift to you. I come to celebrate your love of inquiry, but also to remind you that your inquisitive mind and gift for doubting are best used in service of the world, not in the service of beating yourself up. Interesting. See if you can remain genuinely curious about life without insisting on finding answers. Stay open to learning as your understanding of life becomes increasingly complex and paradoxical. Be curious about your own suffering, for it will open your compassionate heart. One day, your brilliant mind will lead you back to yourself, and how could it not? You are forever intertwined with everything you've ever learned. And here are your questions for contemplation that I will post later here today. Are you plagued with self-doubt? Do your self-doubts make you anxious or keep you awake at night? Do you tend to feel suspicious of the people in your life, of their motives and agendas? Do your suspicions tend to cause others to be defensive around you? How could your gift of inquiry be used as a service to the world? Where has it already come in handy? What does truth mean to you? How has your relationship to truth changed over the years? Try doubting your self-doubt for a day. Notice what happens and journal your thoughts. Doubt your self-doubt. I love that. So anyway, that completes our earth and sun for this week. And as we move on, we move into the gate 22 with the sun, which is about grace and graciousness. And then we'll move into the gate 47 with the earth, which we are challenged to let go of stinking thinking. So again, another week of very prominent mind focus. What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your head, right? Where I can take glasses. So what's going on in your head? That stinking thinking. And that we'll talk about more as we get into next week. Saturday, we are looking at 11 exploring. So we're going into the light, right? 11 is the number of illumination, seeing the light, raising up our perspective. Exploring energy takes us into new territory, kind of expanding our horizons in a way, taking a broader approach to what it is that we see in the world. Now, tomorrow, the moon is also in Leo all day. There are no major aspects tomorrow. But that doesn't mean there's nothing going on, because there's also a lot of quincunxes tomorrow. Not a lot of them, a couple of them. And when we have the quincunx, it is a 150-degree relationship between the planets, and it brings up challenges. We may have challenges in integrating our needs with other people's needs, getting our emotional needs met. We may have to adjust our own emotions, our own moods to be more equitable. So tomorrow can be a little bit frustrating that way. To add to that, tomorrow Venus is also in a semi-square. Today it was a semi-square between Mercury and Mars that's irritating us. Tomorrow it's Venus in a semi-square to Neptune. where it's not so much about irritation, but we just don't see things clearly when we have Venus and Neptune together. They're both benefic planets, and ideally they elevate our relationships to the level of unconditional love. And ideally it relates to how we see ourselves in the world, the seeing of our true selves in others instead of the shadow self in others. So we have some really high side energy there, but we can also find ourselves trying to make decisions tomorrow and having trouble doing so. Neptune kind of clouds things up for us. And so we might have to hold off making big decisions. I would say maybe the weekend itself is a good one to let go of making big decisions, because on Saturday, Venus is in a semi-square to Neptune. And then on Sunday, the sun is in a conjunction to Neptune. It does this yearly, but it is a time, you know, where things get a little, you know, blurred. So blurred lines are not good times to make decisions. So again, maybe for the weekend, put it off, right? If you need to make a big decision, do it on Monday or do it after the full moon. But today and or today is not a bad day to make decisions. It's just not necessarily, it might be that you're overly in the mind and calculating and recalculating. Tomorrow and Sunday, though, definitely not days to make those big decisions. We may be doubting ourselves as well. There may be that doubt creeping in, even though the doubt was in the gate 63 and that ends today, it can creep in a little bit more because we may find ourselves doubting ourselves within the confines of a relationship, right? Are we doing the right things? Are we really loved? Are we really loving? All kinds of questions can come up in our relationships. It can also almost bring up the defects in your relationships for you to look at, where you may be more focused on what you think you don't have in your relationships as opposed to what you do have in your relationships. So just watch where your mind is taking you over the weekend, especially Saturday, because you're just not seeing things clearly, right? With Neptune, we never see it clearly. The high side is we can see it with eyes from a loving point of view, from unconditional love. But on the low side, we may just be not seeing it clearly and we're more apt to find ourselves lacking or wanting more when it comes to that. And again, sun moves into the gate 22 tomorrow, earth into the gate 47. So that's interesting. Our Gene Key study group, we are still working on the Gene Key 22. Hopefully everybody's reading that and really digesting that gift energy of grace in that Gene Key. And is it grace or graciousness? I always get that mixed up. It's graciousness. We'll be moving on to grace as we get later, but we might as well learn about graciousness and grace now because we're going to be living it for the next 6 days or so. Sunday is 12 healing. The 12 is the number of in the Pleiadian energy of understanding. Healing is Ish, the shaman or the jaguar. It brings up that energy of the healer. The moon is in void on Sunday from about midnight 13 here on the West Coast to 3:48 a.m. For you guys on the East Coast, that would be about 3:13 a.m. to 6:48 a.m. It's hardly a blip on the screen, but that means when we in further east, of course, that means you're going to probably feel it during your day. But it's Sunday, right? So we're not forcing ourselves or pushing ourselves to go to work or do anything important anyway, hopefully. But the moon will move into Virgo at that time and change up the energy from the heart-centered Leo to the duty and service-oriented Virgo energy. So you'll note that change in your Sunday, maybe doing things differently, being more practical on Sunday, and maybe wanting to get some things done and organizing that closet for once. I don't know. Sun is in a conjunction to Neptune on Sunday. And Venus is also in a conjunction to Uranus on Sunday. So let's break this down. The sun conjunct Neptune is sensitive. We are more sensitive. We are more in tune, let's say, with the mood of people around us, with the collective energy. Our intuition is heightened. We may feel more like we're seeing something beyond, we're in tune. That's about the best word I can come up with. We are getting impressions. You might have psychic impressions of what something means, about where something's going, about something that's happening with a person in your life. And, you know, don't question that, right? If you get some kind of intuitive hit that you should probably, that you need to call your mother, then do it. Just do it. Don't question your intuition. This is a time to really be aware of how you use your intuitive gifts in your life. But this is also a day of blurred lines, and that means our boundaries. We may not be clear on where we end and someone else begins. Maybe again, holding off on making big decisions because the Sun and Neptune here are not really good at that. But our imagination is triggered, right? Our creative energies are boosted. So maybe it's a day to do some dreaming. Get your journal out and just, you know, write your dreams down in your journal. And I don't mean, now that's another thing that could happen this weekend. Your dream life may be in extraordinary overdrive as well, because the Sun conjunct Neptune often brings us in our unconsciousness things that need to come up to the surface. So be, you know, maybe with your dream journal or a journal by your bed to be able to write those things down. But also, because we are so open to receiving information from the spiritual realm during this weekend, especially Sunday, have a journal handy, or, you know, get your handy dandy, you know, phone, cellular device, and be able to, you know, take notes, because things may be popping up for you that you may want to keep for future reference, right? Maybe there's information embedded in that impression that you're getting that's important for you as you go on. Now, Venus conjunct Uranus is so interesting. So good on one hand, but can be so disruptive on the other, right? Venus rules our loves, our love life, our relationships, our values, our finances. So a lot of things here that, you know, are practical for us. Venus is in a position with Uranus to sort of upset the apple cart, right? This is her sign. This is Taurus. This is the sign she rules. So she's ready for the new. She's ready for the exciting. And Uranus is approved to deliver. So we have to be careful on Sunday, especially on acting on our whims, to acting on snap judgments, to, you know, being impulsive. Venus isn't necessarily a planet that I think of as being impulsive, but when she comes in contact to Uranus, especially in a sign she rules, she might think it's a really good idea to go spend extra money that she shouldn't spend, right? She may think it's a great idea to dump that relationship and go on to a new one. So be cautious. Be cautious, be slower in your creating, you know, snap decisions in your, you know, maybe because things were so slow Saturday and with that Sun and Neptune there, it just feels like we might be being pulled in two different directions. But watch for opportunities to make change somewhere in your life, to do something different, right? If every Sunday you sit at home reading a book, maybe this is the Sunday you go out and you shop, but watch what you spend. Or maybe you go out hiking, or maybe you go visit a neighbor or a friend, or just take a drive, right? Go do something different. So it's also a need for us to be self-expressive. So maybe you get out a pad of paper and you just start doodling and see what comes from it. Maybe it'll be your creative work of art. So Sunday is a really good day, but we just want to watch impulses. We want to watch doing things on a whim that can be, you know, have negative impact. And that's likely because we're seeing things in a little bit of a blur, a little bit of a haze. It's not quite clear, but we are so imaginative under transits like this. So what can you imagine yourself being? What can you imagine your life becoming? Get that down. Maybe write a story. That's a great idea. Write a story about a new story about your life, right? From here on, this is my story and I'm sticking to it. Sunday also, Jupiter moves into the gate 61, joining Pluto there. So what we can see from this is that we're getting ever closer to a Jupiter-Pluto conjunction. And at the gate 61, remember, the shadow is psychosis. psychosis. The gift is inspiration, and the highest expression is sanctity. And I still got to go into that word. I keep avoiding that word. I'm not sure why, but we'll probably have to take a deeper dive into this because it's going to be prevalent with us for a while. It has been already with Pluto. Saturn was there and moved beyond. And now we have Jupiter here. So first we had Saturn and his idea of destruction, pointing out weaknesses. And I mean, it's actually Pluto and Saturn together that were the destroyers. Now Jupiter comes in, and Jupiter is a better planet for growing, for rebuilding, for reimagining. And so we may be able to see ways, pathways for healing our collective psychosis, pathways for healing our inner psychosis. And what does that mean even? Psychosis, right? Isn't that about insanity a bit? About how we keep doing things the same way and we expect a different result. And when we don't get it, we're like, why not? But that is the very definition of insanity. That is the definition of psychosis, being out of your mind or being too much in your mind, right? If we're out of our mind, we might be more in the imaginative realm. We might be in the more spiritual realm. So it is really about our coming and joining our divine self with our physical being and searching for, seeking for, reaching for new ways, new solutions, and new ideas that can stand the test of Saturn's time, right? Time, standing the test of time, becoming inspired to do things in a new way, to see things in a new way, to change your perspective, to grow your perspective maybe. So Jupiter at 61 is likely going to create a little more shakeup in our minds, right? So that I would expect that's going to create more anxiety for some people, more tension, more trying to figure things out. And as we had our discussion yesterday, that is not the realm where you make decisions. That is not the realm. That is not your job. Your job is to release that figuring it out. That's the universe's realm. That's God's realm or source's realm, whatever you want to call that. Cosmic mind's realm, not human mind realm. Your job is to claim the what, right? And to move yourself toward that direction. Let the universe help you figure, let the universe do the work, right? Let's go back to our group of people, see what's going on. Good morning, Marissa. And she's been lurking in the background listening. I love it. Jacqueline, I'm ready, being a Taurus sun and having Venus heavy too, since I'm a Libra moon. I'm ready and willing to accept all that is helping me ascend more. Aha, I love that. Angela, good morning. And Jacqueline says, I have Pluto at 61, both in my design line 2 and my personality line 4. That's not too surprising because Pluto doesn't move very quickly. The difference in time in those two columns, the personality column and the design column, is 3 months. So 3 months prior to your birth, and Pluto just doesn't move fast enough. So most people do end up having Pluto in both places. So one is your life purpose. So the personality is your soul purpose. The design is your life purpose. So the difference here would be in the expression through the lines. So it would seem to me that if you are, your personality's in line 4, you came, Jacqueline, with a specific sort of thinking process of how things should work. And you are meant to kind of move yourself into a different way of thinking that kind of causes you to withdraw from others and their way of thinking. So you're kind of here to stand out in your own way. Anyway, Jacqueline says, I wonder if this is the reason I know how to speak to others without giving them any triggers. I don't know. I doubt it, because that has to come from the throat center. Likely that may come from your Libra moon. So again, having a human design reading may be the most helpful thing, because then we can look at all of that, the big picture of stuff together. Okay, so I did move through that really quickly today because I wanted to be able to do more readings. I don't see any other questions out there. I'm going to deal with Monday's full moon in a separate either broadcast or post. Let's just we could do a quick look at the full moon on Monday. It occurs at 10:48 a.m. on the West Coast, 1:48 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. 1748 for those of you in the GMT time, UTC time. And this is a powerful one because we are not clear of the Sun-Neptune conjunction on that full moon. So we may even find ourselves in a bit of confusion still about what direction to go in our lives. The Sun will sextile Mars, Pallas, Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn. So there are some really good tools we have to take us into the next leg of our journeys. How do we use them, right? How do we use that? So also the moon, because the moon is in opposition to the sun, that's what a full moon is. It will be in a trine to Mars, Pallas, Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn. So we have some really good emotional support. So all in all, I think it's a pretty positive full moon. The moon itself is in Virgo. So it's the practical expression of our emotions, right? That we want to get in tune with. So we'll talk a little bit more about that maybe on Monday, and or I will write something up on that. So as those of you who were with me yesterday know, I got a new deck of cards, a la Debbie Tibbetts 2-meal, and they are these dragon cards. And the dragon cards are freaking fabulous. I don't know. Can you guys see that? There you go. Dragon Oracle cards. Now, I already had the book. I think Debbie must have sent me this book for my birthday because I remember getting this book, Dragons, Your Celestial Guardians by Diana Cooper. And here are the Oracle cards that go with that. I love them. They're next level. Not that Colette Baron Reed's cards aren't good, because they all are, but these just go, they take you way out there. These are the most appropriate cards for Neptune transits that I've ever seen. Let's just say that. So today I have the dragon cards. I still have the goddess cards and the Woto deck and spirit animal. So we can play with them all. They're all here. Now I'm going to go back and start making my list of peeps. And I'm going to keep on the back of here. So I thought I saw Tom wanted a Woto. Are you sure you don't want a dragon? Allison wants a card for the collective. And Sue McCarthy can't wait for my full moon dreams. I love that. It looks like, okay, who else wants readings? This is the time to tell me. Sue. So I forgot who I gave readings to yesterday. Sue would like a dragon. And Angela would like a dragon. And Jacqueline would like a dragon. The dragons are going to get a workout today. And Rebecca would like a dragon. And did I miss anybody? Marissa, you just went by. Marissa would like a Woto. And Debbie Tibbetts, me again. Debbie, Linda would like a dragon. Linda, Dennis. Okay, so let's get busy here. Deb, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with you, Deb. I'll leave it blank for now. Okay. And all right, let's get started here. So Tom would like a Wisdom of the Oracle. And let's do it. See, just being with you guys made my mood change. You guys are good for me. Oh my God, what did I just do? I turned some of them the wrong way. There we go. And now, oh God. Sorry, Tom. Hold on. I really flubbed the deck up here somehow. Likely when I put them away last week. Oh my God, Janet, what did you do? They're all cattywampus. Okay, back together. Sorry about that. All right, Tom, here is your Woto. You didn't tell me if you wanted a dragon, but I might just pull a dragon for you too. All right, Tom, you get mending. Mending. I'm going to go back to Zoom, guys, because I can't see if you can see the card. Mending was upside down, and it's card number 52, which is a 7. So a spiritual healing, perhaps, of some sort. There it is, upright. So 52. And I think this might have something to do with what's going on in your family, Tom. So 52's essential meaning is forgiveness, making amends, healing after arguments. And in protection, because it was upside down. It says, heartbreak is a strange healer of souls. Our grief strips away our masks and loosens our tight hold on our separateness, where we view ourselves as I and the world as it. Loss allows us to see ourselves as part of a larger scheme, opening us up to sympathy, empathy, and dependence on others in the moment when we can't hold ourselves together. That leads us to become one with the greater whole again. Pain and suffering is part of life, and none of us will be immune to it. Can you view this loss, this pain, this dissonance as a way back to source? Let your sorrow break your heart wide open. You will never be left behind. You are loved, now more than ever, by Spirit, who does not want you to feel alone. One day you will look back and know this truth. Woo-hoo. Ugh, I feel the emotion in that card. I'm going to give you a dragon. The dragon's got a workout yesterday. And I got to share a story with you guys. There's this little boy who is the son of one of my clients, and he's 6 years old and just freaking adorable. And he loves dragons. So I sent him a dragon card yesterday. In return, I must have gotten 10 beautiful hand-drawn pictures of dragons back from him. His mom would snap the picture and send it to me. My heart was breaking wide open yesterday too with that. All right. So Tom, you get a golden solar dragon, which helps you stand in your masculine power with wisdom. Let your DNA be reprogrammed and light codes activated. Become an inspired leader. I think we had this for someone yesterday, golden solar dragon. So let me read about that for you. And the golden solar dragon, say that 10 times fast. Golden Christed dragon. No, we need the golden solar dragon. There you are. Page 92. He is a seventh dimensional being. What page did I just say? Okay, so the golden solar dragons are seventh dimensional beings who come from Helios, the great central sun. This is the sun beyond our sun, where Archangel Metatron creates the light matter that is the foundation of our existence. Helios is the gateway between our universe and the source of all that is. The golden solar dragons from Helios touch us with divine masculine energy. They infuse us with courage, strength, logic, leadership, and the qualities of a peaceful warrior. They then balance this with golden wisdom, all at a much higher frequency than we are used to. Working in harmony with the silver lunar dragons, they are activating us all now, illuminating the DNA within us that's been dormant since the fall of Atlantis. We are being intensively reprogrammed in preparation for the new golden age. The golden solar dragon who has come to you now is asking you to balance your life, listen to your inner wisdom, and become a leader. Dare to speak your spiritual truth. Hold the vision of a fifth dimensional world. Protect those who are less capable than you are. With the support and guidance of this dragon, you can be a living example to many people. When you aspire to be a wise spiritual leader, remember that true masculine power used with wisdom helps you and those around you to feel safe. Spend a little time each day focusing on or imagining the sun shining onto your third eye and sense the light codes that the golden solar dragons are directing towards you. Pretty cool. Great, great cards. Okay, so Tom, that was for you. Next was Allison, who wanted a card for the collective. She's always so giving. Let's do a drag. Did you want a dragon card for the collective, Allison? I don't recall. Oh my gosh. Alexa heard me say Allison, and she started playing music for some reason. I imagine by my name, you can tell I like dragons. Yeah, Dragonetti, of course. So Allison, this is a dual card for you and for the collective from the dragons. Gift from the dragons for all. And also for you. And what we pulled is the black dragon. It cocoons you so that your divine potential grows. Meditate, reflect, undergo a metamorphosis. Going back to Zoom, there we go. I'm sure everybody can see this card, the black dragon. Black is the divine feminine. And what I do with the book? Black Dragon. 852. There we go. The Black Dragon. Fifth dimensional Black Dragons are powerful. They only come to us when we are ready to nurture a new idea or concept that will enable our divine potential to grow. Black is the ultimate divine feminine color, the shade of mystery and magic, of secrets and hidden hopes. When we are prepared to surrender to the Black Dragons, they will cocoon us in silky black energy. And as we rest within this safe, dark place, they will enable the new to develop within us. Eventually, we will emerge like a butterfly, having undergone a profound metamorphosis. Excuse me all for a second. Alexa, turn the music off. I didn't turn it on, but somehow it was on. All right, here's our guidance from the Black Dragon. Choosing this card suggests it is a time to rest, for it is during such moments of relaxation that divine projects, creative ideas, or a new way of thinking are conceived. In times of peace and stillness, fresh seeds and ideas can grow. The mighty Black Dragons wish to create a dark cocoon for you now so that the new can germinate and sprout. You are asked to accept their assistance, for it will serve your spiritual growth. Take time to meditate or reflect, and the dragons will surround you with their breath. This will allow the opportunity that is being presented to you to take root. When you are ready, the Black Dragons will help you to nurture the new growth. Ask them to help you hold your vision until it comes to glorious fruition. They will also be working with you in your sleep state, and you may be aware of their presence, so acknowledge their help. Expect to be different. Be ready to spread your wings. I think that's a great message for the collective. We've been, you know, talking about different connections to Sun or Venus or whatever to Neptune, the moon to Neptune. So meditate. That's a great way to deal with that energy. So that's great. Thank you, Allison, for that's for you and the collective as well. Sue McCarthy would like a dragon. I'm going to move Woto out of the way so I don't end up. There we go. So, Sue, this would be for you. Hope you guys are as thrilled with the dragons as I am. Sue, white gold dragon from Lyra or Lyra. I'm not sure if it's Lyra or Lyra. It connects you to the highest Christ light. Develop your causal chakra. Bathe in ninth dimensional Christ light. Wow. That sounds like a powerful dragon. White gold dragon from Lyra or Lyra, which is a constellation. So ninth dimensional dragon. What goes on in the ninth dimension? White gold. That's page 98. All right, Sue. Here's the about. Lyra or Lyra is the cross-shaped 12th dimensional stargate through which Archangel Christiel and the unicorns enter our universe. The light from Lyra pours down through the moon, allowing scintillating 7th dimensional dragons to step through into the vibration of Earth. These white gold dragons embody the highest frequency of the Christ light available to everyone on this planet. They work closely with Archangel Christiel, who is in charge of the development of the causal chakras of humanity. This is particularly important now, as our causal chakra is our connection to the higher dimension spirit, the dragons and angels, unicorns and masters. The white gold dragons from Lyra help to clear and develop our causal chakra and illuminate our highest possible ascension path. I'm not sure what the causal chakra is. I'm not sure what they're referring to. Maybe the root chakra, the sacral, not sure. Guidance here now for you, Sue. These white gold dragons are attracted to you now because you already carry Christ light in your aura. Ask one to take you to the ninth dimensional pool of Christ energy held in Lacume. Visualize yourself bathing in the pool, which shimmers and swirls with pure love and light. Feel yourself absorbing all you are ready to receive. When you return, continue to feel the white gold light in your aura and practice pure, unconditional love in your daily life. Your aura will radiate the incredibly high frequency of white gold, and the white gold dragon from Lyra will support you by continuing to pour Christ's light into you. Take time to find a quiet, still place where you can listen to its wisdom and guidance. Wow. We're talking high energy here, guys. We're talking very high frequency. All right, Tom, we've done Allison, Sue, Angela. Angela would like a dragon card. So we've got a card that just jumped out at me. Source dragon attunes you to the infinite. Be still in the silence. Magic can happen. Be in the moment. This is the very first card that ever I pulled because I pulled it for my husband yesterday. So here it is showing up again. Source dragon. Let's see what that means. Source dragon. I have no idea what dimension he is in or she. My guess is it's a higher one. Ninth dimension. 110. Okay, so here's about the source dragon. In the center of all the dimensions, galaxies, and universes is an infinite point of pure stillness and love. This is the heart of source, and from it flows the most incredible illumination. As the wishes of source flow forth, the illumined angels known as the seraphim sing Om, the vibration of master creation at a 12th dimensional frequency. This allows the will of the creator to spread as seed thoughts into the universe. Wow, that's interesting. Ninth dimensional, transparent white source dragons exist purely to attend to the divine will and turn wishes into reality. Step down the light to a ninth dimensional level so that we can access it. They act as portals of light through which we can connect with the energies of the infinite. For your guidance. A source dragon has come to you now because it is time for you to enjoy a period of stillness with awareness. Breathe deeply and listen to the silence. Something very sacred is coming into your life. This could be anything from the fruition of a long-held dream to becoming a true master. It is being presented to you now. Be diligent, calm, and focused, and remember to breathe deeply. Breath is the key to being in the moment, and this is where the greatest magic happens. Ask the source dragon to accompany you on every step of your exciting new journey. And always remember that the present moment creates your future. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Exciting for you, Miss Angela. All right. Jacqueline Lopez would also like a dragon. So I'm going to go back to Facebook really quickly, see how people are reacting to these cards. Allison says, I'm ready. Helen Harris, good morning to you. Rebecca says that was a beautiful message for the collective. Indeed, it was. Angela Mather Keel says, oh, thank you kindly. Actually have been having some messages and energies from Seraphim lately. Thank you. We'll meditate more on this. I love it when we get validation immediately like that when we're doing these card readings. No, just conduits for one another here. All right, for Miss Jacqueline, I'm going back to Zoom so I can make sure I can show you this card. You have received Thor's red, black, and gold dragon. Protect you in times of change, a time of rapid transition and transformation. Relax, you are safe. Here's Thor's dragon. All right, I'm having trouble seeing where there's the dragon's head over there. It's like, where in the heck is the dragon's head? So there's Thor's dragon for you. Let's see what that means. And this Thor, where are you? Thor's dragon is a fifth dimensional dragon. And here's about Thor. During this incredible period of transition, everything on our planet is changing rapidly. Thor's mighty red, black, and gold dragons work directly for Archangel Gabriel, the mighty archangel in overall command of fire, who sends them to any area or situation that needs immediate clearance. Thor is the god of thunder, the elemental master of fire, and his red, black, and gold dragons carry powerful fire energy. For the optimum use of this blazing power, they connect with Mars and its ascended aspect, named Nigelle. I've got to, this is so fascinating. I have to look up these places. So that they can act as peaceful spiritual warriors throughout the universe. Here's your guidance. Drawing this card indicates that you are ready to change a situation, circumstance, or relationship, or are already doing so. This is challenging for you, and the universe is reminding you that you have earned the right to receive support and assistance. Your guidance is to ask an army of Thor's dragons to clear the energies around you and protect you as you make this transformation. Then relax, knowing you are safe, guided, and supported. Thor's red, black, and gold dragons will ensure you make the changes in a way that is for the highest good of all concerned. These very hardworking warrior dragons consume dense energies very rapidly and thoroughly, and they come to you with dedication, love, and wisdom. So accept graciously what they have to offer you. This card is also a call to service. You are asked to send Thor's dragons to places and situations that need their protection at this time. Got some work to do, girl. In service to the universe. Rebecca. Dragon. Dragon. Here's the back of the card, by the way. It's kind of a light pink. It's hard to see in that light, but, or at least for me, I can't tell the color. All looks strange. All right. So, Rebecca, this one is for you. And it seems that you are getting a dusky pink dragon from Andromeda. Prepares all your chakras to embody higher love. Accept and radiate higher love. Touch others with its flame. So we have a dusky pink dragon from Andromeda. Say that 10 times fast. Do you see the music coming from her as well? There seems to be music. What is she holding in her hand? Looks like a grasshopper. It's a grasshopper in her hand. Look at that. A cricket, maybe? A cricket singing, a grasshopper? I don't know. Let's see what that card's all about. Dusky pink dragon from Andromeda is a seventh dimensional dragon, page 94. Okay. So, all the stars in the constellation of Andromeda embody a beautiful love and acceptance beyond our current understanding. Seventh dimensional dusky pink dragons from Andromeda carry the vibration of transcendent love. If we are ready for their light, they circle around us, and when they pour this special energy into our chakras, our aura is illuminated by a glorious pink light. This enables us to radiate love and light at many different frequencies and transform the people we meet without them even being aware of it. These dragons also work with crickets. Ah, crickets, who come from the same constellation. Their song carries the codes of higher love from Andromeda, and their mission is to bathe the natural world in this vibration. Here's your guidance, Rebecca. Receiving this card indicates that you are ready for higher love. The dusky pink dragons from Andromeda are suggesting it is time for you to carry this luminous light in all your spiritual energy centers. Touch your stellar gateway, soul star, causal, crown, third eye, throat, heart, solar plexus, navel, sacral, base, and earth star chakras in turn, breathing in dusty pink and affirming, I accept and radiate higher love. As you do so, have a sense of these dragons breathing pink into all your chakras. You become a flame of ineffable pink love. Be aware you now have the power to touch everyone you meet with the flame of spiritual love. Know that when you work with the dusky pink dragon from Andromeda, you can make a huge difference to the ascension of the planet. Okay, I'm going to read this again. Touch your stellar gateway, soul star, causal, crown, third eye, throat, heart, solar plexus, navel, sacral, base, and earth star chakras in turn, breathing in dusky pink and affirming, I accept and radiate higher love. That's a lot of chakras, some that I've never even heard of, so that's fun. Got to look at that. And I think that's a great exercise for all of us to do right now, especially with the world and the planet in the state it's in. So thank you for that. Rebecca, thank you. Marissa would like a WOTO over here. Marissa? This is for you. And Marissa, I might just pull you a dragon too. Let's see. See what this card tells us. Milk and honey, card 51. How funny. And it looks like a really good card, right? Being provided for, being nourished. Card 51 is a six. That's balance and harmony. Let's see here. 51. The essential meaning of the card for you is the taste of prosperity, opportunities born of authenticity, nurturing abundance, trusting that your needs will be met. You've entered a sweet time in your life, enjoying the land of milk and honey that everyone wants to experience. It's an interlude that feels more languid than ambitious when all your senses are awake to the unlimited possibilities in the universe. These times are precious and only come when you're in your authentic zone, wearing the world as a loose garment, not wanting, yet able to be nourished in ways both tangible and subtle. Abundance is an energy that you are a living part of. All your needs are being met. You are given the gift of nourishment in every form. Love that card. And I'm going to go back real quick to comments because isn't that a great card, Rebecca? Yeah. And you're most welcome, Jacqueline, as well. It's very deep and he is a gorgeous being. I can't go back far enough to see. All right. So guess what, Marissa? You're getting a dragon card too. Oh man, where did the time go? All right, let's do this. I mean, like there's limits to what I can do, I suppose, if I want to. It's my show, my time. And oh my goodness, Earth and Air Dragon represents a perfect balance of heaven and earth. Stay balanced, ground your visions, manifest your hopes and your dreams. Isn't that pretty? Look at those golden orbs, like bubbles. Okay, Earth and Air Dragon. And Earth and Air, this was also for you, Marissa. Earth and Air Dragon is a fourth dimensional dragon. Fourth dimension. Fourth dimensional brown and blue Earth and Air Dragons breathe life force, hope, and vitality into our hopes and dreams while enabling us to ground them. They bring us into balance and harmony so that our visions can manifest in physical reality. To do this, we first picture our castle in the air and then ground it. These glorious dragons help us with this process. Here's your guidance. This card indicates it is time to clarify your hopes and intentions. Ask the brown and blue Earth and Air Dragons to illuminate your vision. Then ask them to help you take all the action necessary to bring those visions into physical reality. This will re-energize your life. These dragons also offer you assistance in rising above your challenges while remaining grounded in the beautiful vibration of Earth. They enable you to find the perfect balance so that your life can truly flow with grace and ease. So call on them now and ask them to help you understand the purpose of your life's lessons and see the highest good in all people and situations. As you see the lessons presented to you on your ascension pathway from a new perspective, your life will be filled with joy and purpose. Let the Earth and Air Dragons breathe their life force into each of your 12 chakras and bring your life into balance and harmony. Relax as they do this, and you will have a new sense of calm and equilibrium as you walk your divine path. Nice one. Nice one. Great reminder too, right? And let's see, Linda, Dennis, I'm going to draw you a dragon. That's what you requested. Here we go. So Linda, I hope you're still with us out there. Linda's dragon. Whoa. You're flying around here. Dragon flights. Nope. Okay, so we have a dragon that jumped out. It is a gold and silver violet flame dragon. Transmutes the old around you with wisdom and grace. It's time for transmutation, magic, and healing. Offer service under grace. Here we go. Gold and silver violet flame dragon. Love the butterfly there. Look, I think that's the symbol for alchemy behind it. Gold and silver, violet. I would bet that is seventh dimensional, maybe? There we are. It is fifth dimensional, page 42. Okay. All right. Fifth dimensional gold and silver violet flame dragons are powerful alchemists. When they come to us, they transmute the old and allow magic and wonder to be revealed in its place. These glorious dragons work with Archangel Zadkiel and Saint Germain, the Lord of Civilization, and automatically link us to them when we call them in. Saint Germain was a great magician and dragon master. When we speak his name, a great light touches us. Archangel Zadkiel, too, illuminates us and the dragons when we call him in. The dragons then surround us in gold, silver, and violet flames of wisdom, grace, and transmutation. The violet flames transmute the old and raise the frequency to a higher level. The silver one brings in divine feminine grace, and the gold ones saturate us with wisdom. Here's your guidance, Linda. This card suggests it is time to let go of an aspect of your life that is no longer serving you. Ask the gold and silver violet flame dragons to clear the thought of it totally from your energy fields. Sense or feel them etherically burning up the old. Then ask them to replace it with new and joyful possibilities that come to you at a higher frequency. When you connect with these dragons, you have a wonderful opportunity for service work. You can send them under the law of grace to any person or place that needs transformation. Remember, you will also be working with Saint Germain and Archangel Zadkiel, who will illuminate you. So take a few moments now to direct these dragons to heal people, places, situations, and the world. Linda, you are good at that. I know you are. Perfect. And Debbie, I drew a dragon for you yesterday. So let's do a Woto for you today. Okay, Deb? That'll be the last one for me for the day. Debbie, to me on. Go the distance, card 47, our little cheetah baby, cheetah mama. 47 is an 11, so we have illumination, we have the light, and that would not be the correct card. 47 is back here. All right, so the essential meaning of go the distance, as you might imagine, is endurance, strength, the long haul. To bring your dreams to life, you must think long-term and pay no attention to the fluctuations in the current of your experience. Joy and disappointment commingle with opportunities, so there is no need to fear the occasional obstacle. Life is not a sprint. This card is a reminder that you have endurance, strength, and fortitude to carry you all the way. Remain true to yourself. Your authenticity alone will keep you in alignment with the energy of miracles. What is yours will never be withheld from you. Remember that. Love that card too. I think everybody got great cards here today. So that is it for me today. I hope everybody enjoyed their readings. I certainly enjoy giving them. You're welcome, Linda. Marissa says, thank you. Going to the gym to get into my body and out of my head. Have a good weekend. All of you, take care. Have a wonderful weekend. And watch for maybe a post from me Saturday or Sunday about the full moon. And we may chat about it a bit on Monday morning as well. See you then.